Hey, podcasters. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, why is a French town giving out free Viagra?
Why not? We ask, how quick did you go back to work after giving birth?
We taste-tested Marmite with peanut butter.
Ooh, and get your luggage nightmare stories.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
Shocked because I looked at the TV screen and Koshy's just done a photo of himself as a woman using that app.
He's used the online app, yeah.
And I was a little bit attracted.
Oh, were you really?
Turned on, so I just got to...
I've just seen the image and I can't unsee that now.
No, you can't. No. And you don't want to mess with things like Koshy because it's traditional and, you know, we're finding that, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't like change as much as I used to.
You want it the way it's always been.
I want things the way they were.
Oh, good. Well, today you're going to get a sunny day and 22 degrees when it finally warms up. Who wants some breakfast?
I'll go with breakfast, but Matt, you're not going to be happy because right in front of us right now, we got pieces of toast that our producers have given to us because we found out there's a new product coming from Marmite.
Oh, now, okay.
Marmite's kind of like, I feel like it's sort of sacrilege in this country to say Marmite.
It's England's Vegemite.
Yeah, but there's plenty of...
Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah, plenty of people from the UK here who would love their Marmite too.
I like a bit of Marmite.
I think I had it as a kid, but I can't recall what it tasted like.
Well, Maddie and I were talking about it yesterday. We think it's a little bit sweeter than Vegemite and a bit more syrupy.
Yeah, I think that's a good description.
That's
kind
of how we come to it. But Marmite have launched a spread combining Marmite with peanut butter.
Oh, really?
Now, you see, I mean, Vegemite tried to add a little bit of something zhuzhy to it recently, didn't they, with the cheesy.
Oh, they did too.
Yeah, you know,
it was rejected by the fans.
It was. And hey, don't get me wrong, a Vegemite and cheese sandwich is one of the greatest things you can possibly
Vegemite
do
scroll.
For yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't need you to do it for me.
Okay.
Well.
Because you want to do it in your own sort of way.
Do it in my own
style,
way.
Style, quantities.
Marmite's put this together. Now, the Marmite crunchy peanut butter spread is not available in Australia.
No.
But our producers wanted us to try and savour the flavour, so they've made us a piece of toast here.
Is that this thing that
combined,
looks like it's...
Maddie's going straight in.
Is that the thing that looks like it's come from Main Roads?
They've combined peanut butter with... It does look like that, Claire.
Is it peanut butter with Marmite? Or
well, this is a big deal because Marmite haven't made any changes to their recipe in 117 years.
Right.
So they must be really confident that the peanut butter thing is going to work.
Okay.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Are you really, really hungry, though? Like, are you shopping hungry?
I am.
Yeah, so that has an influence.
And the producers have bought the crappiest bread I've ever eaten.
Yeah, they bought
their cheap
down.
Beer coaster.
And it hasn't been spread to the edges either.
Oh, I thought it was a piece of cardboard. I thought we were licking it off.
I guess the problem is we don't know what the combination...
Yeah.
Like, whether we've got the right amount of...
So is this a combination... Has this got Vegemite in it? Okay, so it's Vegemite with
Marmite.
It's Marmite. Oh, it is Marmite. Okay. I haven't had Marmite since I was a kid.
People love hearing people eat on air. But, you know, what's it like? What's the feedback? You guys, Matt's gone in for a whole other piece. You can give feedback on what it's like before you eat the whole thing.
Might have spit it out.
It reminds me of a spring morning.
Oh, really? Put some spring in your step?
As the horses frolic in the paddock next door.
Oh,
it's really quite good.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Can I spin it out?
Well, I don't like that. That's
gross. What's wrong? Well, give me yours then.
Yeah, you can have mine. I'm one bite out. There you go.
Matthew's
taking mine.
It tastes all right.
No.
It tastes like salty peanuts. And
it's
as we know, that's
salt.
Salty
that's
nuts.
That's way too much salt.
What's wrong with you?
No.
Oh.
I like it.
Hey, Matt, are you going Paulie? Paulie's in there.
I like it.
No surprise that Captain Paul liked it.
Yeah. It might be. Is this
free food?
Free.
I'm looking.
Gross.
It might be because it's not like real peanut butter. It's like the.
The crunchy?
Well, I like organic peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
So it might be that normal peanut butter, because it's got other stuff in it, tastes weird to me.
Yeah.
So I can't judge it.
Yeah,
but this tastes gross. I wouldn't eat that.
You're fussy, though.
Okay. So basically, if you can find yourself some organic sourdough, organic peanut butter, and some organic Marmite, you and Kimber could really enjoy it.
You should just be eating organic peanut butter. It should only have peanut butter in it. It should only have peanuts and salt. That's it.
But there's also a lot of stuff on there. You know me, I have a scraping of Vegemite last me about 6 years.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Okay.
You know, sorry, Pete Evans.
go home and have a look at your peanut butter jar and see all the chemicals that are in it.
Only if we've got activated peanuts on it.
Well, it's not That's available it. In Australia, so Good. If you want to try this monster mash.
Make it yourself.
Boys, keep eating. More for you.
I'm just thrilled we got through that whole break without anyone saying the word yeasty.
Mm. Did I hear someone saying nom nom though?
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Angela Bishop, there's a name for you, celebrating 30 years, most of those entertainment reporter at Channel 10. What a huge milestone for Angela. She's on the line right now. Ange, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, 30 years at 10, like all that time, straight out of primary school, really.
Wow.
And it's been really good fun.
Well, Angela, they say do a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life or something along that. I'm paraphrasing, but how many years does it feel like you've been in the industry?
It really has snuck up a bit, I have to say. It doesn't feel like 30, but it is. It's more than half my life, so it's really quite surreal. Just so many wild and wonderful experiences, it has flown by.
30 years in any business, but particularly this one, Angela, is quite an achievement, so absolutely congratulations. And I guess the only question one can ask after 30 years in the business is, just how much long service leave have you accrued?
Funny you should ask that. I reckon I've probably got about 2 years in the Bahamas if I'd like, if I could afford it.
But, Do it.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't actually thought about that. You're absolutely right. But there's never time to take it because there's always too much going on.
Hey, Angela, I just want to throw a few facts at you. They may spin you out a little bit. Bono from U2 is 59, so he was 29 when you started at 10. Of course, you, of course, were just a baby. And I think we're about 11 or 12 prime ministers since, maybe 13 soon, who knows?
That is truly bizarre. The other people celebrating 30 years pretty much this week too, Human Nature. So that's kind of where we started together.
In sync.
The boys when they were the four tracks.
Wow.
Well, isn't that incredible?
Angela, I'm sure you knew that this question was inevitable. Who was the biggest jerk celebrity interview?
Biggest jerk.
Say Bono.
No. Great interview with him in Perth, backstage, after the concert, actually, the night before the very first episode of the panel. And the interview was supposed to take place at, I think it was around 11:30, and it ended up happening near about 3 a.m. And then I was on the 6 a.m. flight back to Melbourne to do the first ever episode of the panel live that night. Yeah, Bono's everything. He was fantastic. Oh, you know, there haven't been too many jerks. There have been some who've had some, you know, prerequisites about, you know, their favourite side and things like that. But I don't begrudge them that. Their image is their life and they know what works for them and they know what looks good and you just sort of go with the flow. I've had some stars, you know, they've had specific lighting requirements and so forth and I've sat in the lighting and gone, that is the goods. I'm going to pinch this. This looks amazing. Stevie Nicks knows how to light an interview, and I pinched her lighting techniques because she always looks incredible.
She does.
Brilliant. And obviously some interviews are hard to get, and I'm sure you've still got some people on your bucket list that you'd love to interview, but are there others that you can't get rid of? Like, is Hugh Jackman constantly calling?
Oh, if I had to spend the rest of my life interviewing Hugh Jackman, I'd be happy.
Sure.
He's just divine. But, yeah, no, it was Clint Eastwood was the one that was eluding me until last December when I finally took, yeah, so it took me 29 years to get Clint by the short and curlies, but I finally nabbed him in December and he didn't let me down. I just thought, he's fascinating, you know, such a Hollywood stalwart, started as an actor, then became a director, became an Oscar-winning director.
Yeah.
He's a Republican in the middle of Hollywood, which is like being a snowman in the middle of Bondi Beach. Cottesloe Beach. And,
yeah,
he was everything I hoped. He's a legend with legendary stories to tell.
Hey, 30 years to Channel 10 cough up a gold watch, gold Rolex, old school style. Is it a cake?
It's
what do you get? What do you
get? Throwing me a party. Throwing me a little bash, which
sweet.
Is so exciting, which is really nice. There'll be soda water all around.
Yeah. You might have Hugh Jackman jump out of the cake versus Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman jumping out of the cake would be incredibly satisfactory if that was possible.
Hey, Angela, all the best and congratulations from here in Perth.
Here.
Thank you.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
This happened 4 days ago.
I have always believed in miracles.
Scott Morrison, of course, is our Prime Minister still.
It's been a big 4 days.
It's been a massive 4 days.
Immediately overnight, the banks are doing just fine.
And the health insurers couldn't be happier.
Yeah, apparently housing's going up 40%. This is the election we didn't even know was going to make this many changes.
There's a lot of early promising talk, isn't there?
Well, and he's Cronulla Sharks one as well. So we've literally we've reached a golden age.
He's looking pretty. I thought they got flogged.
A lot of promises.
Oh, maybe they. I just saw him. He was happy.
He was happy. Yeah, he was happy to be there.
A lot of promises, but then yesterday we heard him say, "Oh, so remember I was going to give you guys that little tax break. Yes. I was going to give you all a little bit of money."
Yeah.
Turns out I can't actually afford to do that until next financial year.
I think the timing was off.
Yeah, I mean, as if he didn't know. He didn't seem to mention that on Friday. He would have known on Friday that he didn't have the money to give to us this financial year, right?
You vegan activist.
Actually, coming down to it, did Joshy Frydenberg say anything? I don't think he mentioned it either.
No, I mentioned it. And then straight away, it's just ridiculous. It doesn't matter who got in. I'm not even talking politics like I've got a favourite. I'm just saying that it doesn't matter who gets in. They're like, oh, guys, this is what we're doing. Hey, turns out we can't do that thing anymore.
Of course not. It's
so ridiculous.
Kimber doesn't need a placard.
And we keep coming back for more. But he has, the coalition has reached its 76-seat majority.
Oh, they've nailed it, have they?
So that means they'll be able to govern in their own right in the lower house, which, that's the mandate the people have given them. So just don't stuff it up.
I think I'd rather be a well-hung parliament, to be honest. So that's ScoMo. That's Scott Morrison.
Yes.
How about Morrissey, as in the English singer from the Manchester band? We all know the Smiths.
The Smiths.
Yeah, whether you know the Smiths or not, have a listen to this. You might have grown up listening to him. He always looked like a miserable git, didn't he, Stephen Morrissey?
Yeah.
Morrissey is 60 today.
Is he?
Happy birthday.
Speaking of vegan activists.
Absolutely.
Great tune, Claire. Great excuse to get it on the radio, mate.
So many good songs. And that Johnny Marr guitar in the background there, but Panic and How Soon Is Now. Just absolute classics. But if you grew up listening to the Smiths or Morrissey solo stuff, you could help celebrate his birthday today.
Absolutely. And kids, if you're finding that your music just isn't dark enough to reflect your teenage mood, then listen to some Smiths.
That or early Depeche Mode. It's all pretty down. Yeah. So 6:25.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Amy Schumer's in the news.
I don't fit in here. Just like in LA, my arms register as legs. They're just like, why is that octopus on Sunset? Is that...
Fantastic. Amy Schumer has returned to work as a stand-up comedian, of course, 14 days after giving birth.
Yep.
Oh, we just heard from Pink. I bet she's, she's an active person, isn't she? She's probably up and at him.
She would have been back on the silks a few weeks later, maybe.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes you just got to go back to work sooner than you'd like to.
Oh, I find it quite extraordinary. And so we're asking you, how quickly did you go back to work? Let's go to Swan View and Caroline. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yes, I'm pretty good. Thank you.
Now tell us the story. How quickly did you go back to work?
I actually had to go back to work at 6 weeks before I lost my job.
6 weeks or you'd lose your job?
Yes.
So that was like a threat, sorry? Caroline? What was going on there?
Yeah, I was actually a waitress in America.
Right.
And, as you know, the American health system is nothing like ours.
Ah, okay.
And, so basically it's 6 weeks after you give birth or you don't have a job.
And, Caroline, did you have a partner? Were you doing this on your own?
Well, I had a partner, but you may as well have said I didn't.
Right, sure. Okay. Yeah, we get it.
And I didn't have any family or anything over there. But I had a really wonderful friend whose name is Sandy, and she had four other children. She was on the opposite shift to me. So I drove three counties, I suppose not even a suburb, but it's a bit bigger than a suburb.
Yeah.
I'd have to get up at 3, 3.30 in the morning to get to drop her off. And get to work by 5.
Wow.
That's amazing.
In the winter time, it was pretty cold.
Yeah. But in the American system, I bet you're lapping up when you got those 3 or 4 weeks off a year. Incredible.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Very, very weird. But I was extremely, extremely lucky, and I want to make every mother jealous as all hell here. My daughter was absolutely wonderful, and she slept through the night from 6 weeks on.
Hey!
Oh, well, she knew intuitively that mummy needed some help, I think.
7 o'clock at night till about 8 in the morning, she'd sleep through, even through the car ride on the way to the babysitters.
Oh.
Just as well, Caroline.
Yeah.
Just as well.
Still to this day, she loves her sleep.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, back to work after 6 weeks for Caroline. There,
maybe Caroline could give me some hints on whether that works with Dalmatian puppies.
Good luck. Oh, you gave birth to a Dalmatian?
Sort of.
Simone's in Warnborough. Simone, how quickly did you return to work after you gave birth?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I was 2.5 months.
Yep.
In saying that, I'd work right up to about 4 or 5 weeks beforehand, calling through roofs, digging holes because I was an electrician.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
I only worked 3 days a week, but I subcontracted, and we soon worked out that I could earn the same in 3 days. So my husband ended up staying home as Mr. Mum after about 5 months. And I worked full-time as a subcontract. Thing was, I kept breastfeeding, so luckily he slept. Mm. So I'd feed him 10 o'clock, then his next feed was 5 a.m, but I was up at 2 a.m. to express, so he had milk the next day at daycare.
Simone, did you find that when you went back to work that quickly, were you being judged by people? Because everyone's, you're supposed to stay home with your baby for a year and it's a motherhood experience. Like, I feel like a lot of mums probably get judged for that.
I didn't feel I did through my friends. I didn't have a lot at the time and they didn't have kids.
Mm. Right.
But when he got to school age, and because Dad was always dropping him off and picking him up at kindy.
Yes.
I felt with the days I got judged, they all go, oh, it's so good to see Mum working and Dad towards the kids. But as soon as I got there to pick him up, I got dirty looks. And...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, they were just happy to see your husband. They wanted the eye candy,
possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's sort of like, well, you know, you can't have it both ways. Great for Mum to work and Dad be home, but then when Mum does pick up, give him dirty looks and, yeah.
Yeah, the dirty looks, it's weird, isn't it? They're judging me. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Simone. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Have a great day, guys.
Good on you, Mum.
Well done to all those mums and dads that are doing it tough out there, having to go back to work real soon after they've had a baby.
Yeah, and great when you've got a couple that can work together in that way. I would happily stay at home.
Yeah.
I know it's tough. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's tough. But...
I just remember going back. I was absolutely exhausted after one of our kids was born because my now ex-wife said to me, I can't do this. I said, well, I can't do it for you.
Or I can't do it either.
I was a wuss compared to that.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
It turns out that James Corden has still been doing carpool karaoke with stars.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know. And his latest star is Celine Dion.
Oh.
And he should just stop doing them now because I think this is probably the best carpool karaoke I've seen. Mm. Celine is a star, a total incredible performer, and I'm not even a fan. No. I don't really like Celine Dion's music.
You may be curious this morning at 5:15 when I heard you were constantly laughing.
Yeah.
She's very entertaining. Did you finish it,
Claire? Yeah, I got through the 14 minutes, yeah.
She's very funny. And so I kind of was watching it in awe.
Where do you keep 10,000 pairs of shoes?
Let's call it a warehouse.
So we've got some of your shoes. We thought we could give them away to people on the Las Vegas Strip.
Excuse me, would you like a pair of Celine Dion's shoes?
Yeah.
Give them to the lady right now. Celine!
It was great. Celine, like, she's got 10,000 pairs of shoes, did not want to give any of her shoes away.
Oh, really?
It was very cute, though. And it's pretty hard to capture this stuff in audio grabs, but there was comedy from start to finish and some really awesome karaoke vocals throughout and a very special Titanic performance. They left the car for that performance and it is just, they made it into an epic, epic show.
Yeah,
so
they went into
it was pretty impressive.
Those fountain ponds, one of the casinos.
The hotels.
It was incredible.
All these people on the side of the street are like, what are we watching here? It's a Celine Dion performance on a boat.
Yeah, but she's quite happy to do really weird, funny Muppet faces all the way through. She's a classic.
Yeah, it was very entertaining. So check it out. It will be at mix.com.au later this morning. Now, here's something you don't hear every day. Mm. The megastar Whitney Houston might be performing from beyond the grave.
Whoa.
Whitney, I know. A New York-based company has acquired 50% of Whitney Houston's estates or the assets, including royalties from her music, films, merchandising, and the most awarded female artist of all time she is and died at the age 48, which incredibly young, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Whitney's sister-in-law and executor of the estate said, people have forgotten how great she was.
Yes.
And they all let her, they let all the personal things about her life outweigh why they fell in love with her in the first place.
That's probably a fair call.
Yeah, so they want to put this show together.
It's worth having a look at the Whitney doco, which is on Netflix. Certainly worth having a look and see what happened.
Mm.
Yeah, it was pretty tragic. But now they're saying, saying they want to, the real focus is going to be on the hologram tour.
Oh.
So they're going to have the laser generated likeness of Whitney on tour. Right. And that's the first priority of the new contract that they're working on, which could be followed by branding deals and a potential Broadway musical.
Wow.
I know.
Will she interact with the audience?
It's a bit hard, isn't
hey,
it?
Hey, I hope you voted for Mr. Clinton.
Yeah. That is so awkward.
I hope they get the cities right too.
Yeah.
Good evening, Melbourne.
Oh, no.
It's creepy.
I'm not okay with holograms.
Well, they tried it with Michael Jackson in an awards ceremony. It didn't really come off. But they toured with the Elvis stuff, with the videos, not necessarily a hologram.
And didn't Nat King Cole's daughter, they sang, but that was a video was screen, good. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unforgettable.
And guys, Jimmy Barnes is touring again.
Hey!
Jimmy!
Ow! Oh, Jimmy.
The Shutting Down Your Town tour.
Mm.
So
is that Shouting Down Your Town?
Yeah, it is Shouting Down Your Town. Playing all his classic hits plus highlights from his acclaimed new album, My Criminal Record.
Uh-huh.
And so that's going to be out on the 31st of May. And so if you're a member of Jimmy's mailing list, you'll get pre-sale access from Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
But they're also selling a special limited edition deluxe package of his new album. It's unveiled online today.
Yep.
And it comes with a guaranteed A-reserve ticket to one of the shows.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. So you need to see if it is a show that's in our town. But it comes with an exclusive T-shirt as well. And they're going to be supported by Jet and Eskimo Joe.
Hey, okay.
So pretty good. It's going to be happening Sunday, 10th of November at the Ascot Racetrack. And tickets are through ticketmaster.com.au.
I believe they're going to have a hologram of Jimmy's voice box.
Oh, no.
You just wanted to do it. You love doing it.
I'm going to go.
Can you not?
That's your daily juice.
Very good.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
There's a time when all of us save up and we want to just break free and get on a big bird and fly somewhere.
Too right.
Something about holidays is just incredible. But imagine flying, this happened to all of us at some stage in some way, shape or form. Imagine landing like my stepdaughter did recently in Heathrow. So she's flying from Melbourne to Perth and then across, stop off at Hong Kong and then ended up at Heathrow. She goes out and she's at the baggage carousel waiting for her bag to come out. And it's loaded with all her very best gear and clothes and shoes. And she's got 300 people around her, but there's no bag. And then about probably 25 minutes later, there are 30 people around her and there's no bag. And in an hour, there are 3 people around her and there's no bag for all of these 3 people.
Okay.
Not that long later, 2 people finally get their bags. So it's an hour and a half later and she's there alone and no bag.
No.
In tears. I mean, horrible feeling.
Oh, and you just know, you're like, why did it have to be me?
Me.
And I've got this whole trip and you've normally booked a car or you've got somewhere to be.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're just going, I'm going to now spend the next 5 days trying to source clothes.
She's catching up with her friends in all these different European cities and then going to the States and she's got friends in New York. So she's got her very best clothes as well, which she's spent a lot of time saving up for. So lots of phone calls, lots of emails, their family members in the UK getting involved because they think that that might help out, which does help, to try and get, and they say the airline says the bag was scanned in at Heathrow, right?
Oh, no.
They lied. The bag was found 3 days later in Hong Kong. Right?
Honkers.
In Honkers. So this is like a week after the bag was actually found. She had to send photos of bags that looked just like the bag and a lock that looked like the lock that was on it.
Oh, God. Because, of course, everyone's got the same suitcase.
Yeah. So she's just on minimal clothes, just what she was wearing and whatever she could purchase in the meantime when family sent her a bit of cash to get her through. She's now moved to Berlin and is soon going to Amsterdam. She still doesn't have her bag.
Oh, you know, we read a story out recently about a dude who travelled to go on a massive hike and he'd been planning for the hike and when he got there, his suitcase didn't arrive and he was like, well, the offer is that I turn back and don't do it. He ended up doing the hike in his jeans and whatever sneakers he had on the plane.
Just what he had.
Captain Paul did the HBFM for a reason.
Yeah.
His jeans and desert boots.
I did the whole Coral Coast like that.
According to statistics, airline and baggage handlers misplace 12 pieces of luggage for every 1,000 passengers.
Right, okay.
Okay, that's not many.
Not many, but if you travel enough, I guess you know your chances increase, of course.
It's a worry when you get told the bag's been scanned into a major airport, isn't it?
I'm thinking,
what, the tag came off and was stuck to another bag, so it got scanned in? Probably lying.
There it is in Honkers.
Oh, what do you do? So she'll eventually get it. She'll be on the other side of the world by then, I would imagine.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth. for Brekkie.
Yes, we're talking about what happened when your luggage got lost, and this woman, Joan from Chicago, went on a 3-month work assignment to China.
Mm.
Bag never turned up. Mm. But Joan had done the right thing. She had clearly identified her suitcase. When she got home, still not knowing that her luggage had actually been found, It wasn't until the snow melted from her Chicago home that she discovered that her bag had been dropped back.
Oh,
under the snow.
It wasn't snowing before that.
That's hilarious.
3 months later, there it was.
Oh, that's awesome. Ali's in Fremantle. Ali, tell us about your lost luggage nightmare.
My daughter Jazzy and I, she was 11 at the time, we were flying from London to Paris. 15 hours we were stranded there, flights were cancelled due to rain. We were actually sitting watching piles of suitcases being piled up on the tarmac in the rain. We got to Paris, no suitcases. British Airways said to us, basically, you might as well just keep going because we don't know where they are.
Yep.
So we had nothing. We caught a train every morning when we arrived somewhere. We would buy a new outfit. They gave us €600 of spending money, so we got the money. I said, right, let's go to Euro Disney on British Airways, so we did. But the best thing was when we actually were flying home British Airways, I'd use frequent flyer points to fly first class, and Jazzy was in economy, which she wasn't happy about. We were checking in. I could hear her having a little moan session to the BA guy about her bag's been missing, but also mum was in first class. When I got onto the plane, I said, I better go and check on my daughter, and they said, I think you'll find she's fine, and they turned around and she'd managed to get herself upgraded to business class.
What a scammer!
It was worth it.
Good on you, Jazzy.
It was worth buying some outfits that day then.
Thanks, Ellie. Yes. Love that kid.
Moaning to BA about their BS to get you somewhere.
Let's go to Wembley Downs. Laura's there. Hey, Laura, what about your lost luggage nightmare?
Yeah, we were flying to New Zealand, Queenstown, actually, myself and two friends, and we were going for a ski trip. So we left Australia, you know, the weather wasn't that cold, so we were just, you know, reasonably dressed, landed in Queenstown. Unfortunately, we landed, no bags landed. Mm-hmm. So three of us were like, all right, this is going to get a bit cold. What are we going to do? You know, joking around at the airport saying, oh, we'll just, you know, wrap a sheet around us at the hotel and have a toga party. You know, what else can you do? So we get into this little shuttle bus, get ourselves to the hotel we were staying at, and we pull up, and there's a big sign at the front saying, you know, tonight's theme party is a toga party. And we're like, gosh,
get out of town.
Kidding.
No, definitely. So we're like, we go in there, and yep, there's people cruising around with bed sheets wrapped around them. So it was hilarious. It was just the timing of
perfect.
It all. Was just, you know, you couldn't have planned it any better.
That's so
we wrapped
unreal.
Our sheets around ourselves, had a bit of a, I think it's a bit of a, thing in New Zealand, I don't know, they must, I think uni students do it, there must be a big toga party.
I love toga parties.
Something that goes on, not actually in Queenstown, so I think they were just running a runoff theme from it, but yeah, it was pretty classical. Our bags arrived 2 days later, we didn't get much skiing done because we didn't have any ski gear in the things, but yeah, it was great, a bit funny.
Yeah, what are the odds?
You know, in the powder, going down the slopes in the toga outfit, you get a little chilly.
That's right.
Thanks, Laura.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.